Today is Tuesday, September 21st. We'll tell you what new data shows about a COVID vaccine for younger kids ages 5 to 11 and when they may actually be able to get the shots. Also, what to know about Canada's election and why President Biden is taking the world's biggest stage today. Plus, U.S. travel rules change once again. New plans for one of the largest oil companies in the world. And the newest features in Apple software update available now. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, unfortunately, COVID-19 is now officially the deadliest disease in American history. The U.S. death toll topped 676,000 this week, and with that, it surpassed the 1918 Spanish flu. Comparing the two pandemics is tricky, though. Back in 1918, the U.S. population was about a third of what it is now. So the Spanish flu did kill a higher percentage of Americans than COVID-19 has. But the raw number of deaths still comes as a surprise to a lot of people, since modern medicine is far more advanced now. Still, the death rate keeps climbing, mostly among people who have decided not to get vaccinated. On average, about 2,000 more Americans are still dying from COVID-19 each day. The U.S. is one step closer to having vaccines ready for younger children. Pfizer released new data that shows its COVID-19 shots are safe and effective for kids 5 to 11 years old. Researchers tested the vaccine on thousands of elementary-aged children and found their antibody response was about the same as adults who got vaccinated. Plus, the kids only got mild temporary side effects like sore arms, fever, and achiness. The younger kids get a much smaller dose than everyone else, though. Theirs are about a third of the shot for people 12 and older. But the shots are not available for them just yet. All the data still needs to be reviewed. Pfizer says it plans to ask the FDA for the green light soon. Once the vaccine maker applies, the FDA says it could grant that authorization in a matter of weeks. And that means millions of elementary school kids could get the go-ahead to get vaccinated before Halloween. Moderna is also studying its COVID-19 shots in elementary school-aged children, so we can expect data from them soon as well. And both Pfizer and Moderna are testing vaccines on even younger kids, down to 6 months old. The U.S. government is hoping to resettle up to 125,000 refugees here over the next year. This week, the State Department told Congress it wants to allow more refugees into the country by raising the refugee cap by a lot. You may remember, under former President Trump, the U.S. opened just 15,000 spots to refugees. At the time, Trump said he did not want to let in more because they weren't vetted properly. Now, the Biden administration wants to allow more than 8 times that many, saying it needs to address, quote, humanitarian crises around the globe. Meanwhile, some Republicans want to see the number kept lower. They've said before that too many refugees will burden the already overwhelmed immigration system. Either way, refugees will go through security and medical vetting before they're allowed to come to the United States. Then they're eligible for government benefits, and they can eventually qualify for permanent residency in the U.S. The United Nations says there are now more than 26 million refugees around the world, and that's the highest number since World War II. Millions of people cast ballots in important elections this week in both Canada and Russia. Let's start with our North American neighbors. It looks like Canadians re-elected Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. At least that's what local media outlets are projecting this morning, even though some votes are still being tallied. Assuming it sticks, this is Trudeau's third straight victory. But it doesn't look like his Liberal Party won a majority of seats in the Canadian Parliament. Trudeau was hoping it would, so he would not have to rely on other parties for help to pass new laws. In fact, he called for this election to take place 2 years ahead of schedule, hoping recent good approval ratings would give his party a boost. But the early results look pretty much the same as the final numbers from the last election. On the other side of the ocean, Russia's ruling party held on to a supermajority in its parliament. And that means President Putin will have even more power in Russia moving forward. But opposition parties and independent elections observers are reporting widespread ballot fraud. Election officials still say the election was fair, though. One more note on Russia's elections. Allies of the government critic Alexei Navalny were not allowed to vote because a court called them extremists. Here in the U.S., the State Department condemned the Russian government for silencing the opposition. President Biden is getting ready to speak on the world's biggest stage. Today, he will give his first speech in front of the United Nations General Assembly since he took office. Biden is expected to address the COVID-19 pandemic and climate change. He'll likely also press other governments on rights issues, like China and the new Taliban regime in Afghanistan. Still, President Biden's speech is expected to have a cooperative tone. A senior administration official told Axios, Biden will talk about the world, quote, closing the chapter on 20 years of war and opening a chapter of intense diplomacy. Or in other words, now that American troops are out of Afghanistan, the U.S. can focus on other priorities. Today also happens to be the United Nations International Day of Peace. This day is observed around the world every year on September 21st. The UN calls for 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire. And it's also asking everyone to spread compassion, kindness, and hope. There are all kinds of international peace events happening around the world today. More news is coming up in just a moment, but first, this episode is brought to you by Rothy's. I know you're busy and often on the go, and nobody has time or patience for uncomfortable shoes. And that's where Rothy's comes in. Rothy's shoes are not only comfortable, their fan favorite styles are also sustainably made with materials like plastic water bottles. How cool is that? I love buying from Rothy's knowing this company cares for the planet. Rothy's are also fully machine washable and available in tons of shapes, styles, and colors, so you can always find the right one for you and the season. I have a variety of Rothy's, from cute fall flats to casual and comfy sneakers. Who What Wear says, quote, "Celebrities are far from immune from the draw of Rothy's wildly popular shoes." And Forbes calls Rothy's men's shoes a travel must-have. To help you welcome the fall season in style, Rothy's is also doing something special right now. Yes, they gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new favorites today. The U.S. will soon reopen its borders to most international tourists who have their COVID-19 vaccines. The U.S. had banned travelers from the European Union, U.K., China, Iran, and more since March of 2020. But starting soon, in early November, that changes. Travelers will be allowed into the U.S. once again. International tourists will have to show proof they've had the vaccine. They'll also have to test negative for COVID within 3 days of the flight and hand over their contact information for tracing purposes. With all of that, vaccinated travelers will not have to quarantine. As for American citizens, they'll still be allowed to come back into the U.S. from other countries, whether they're vaccinated or not. But people who do not have their shots will have to test negative for COVID-19 within 1 day of the flight instead of 3 days. A lot of eyes are on the stock market today after its worst day in months. The Dow Jones dropped more than 600 points yesterday, and the S&P fell by 75 points. That's the sharpest plunge since mid-May. So why the downturn now? Economists say a lot of it has to do with China. Simply put, real estate developers over there may not be able to pay their debts. And if they can't, there are concerns the property development industry could collapse and cause a ripple effect through the entire economy. Another possible reason for Wall Street's slump? The Federal Reserve is meeting this week, and some investors are fearing changes. Throughout the pandemic, the central bank has been helping stimulate the economy through lending and by keeping interest rates very low. And it's not clear right now how long the Fed will keep that up. Plus, there are concerns about the debt ceiling debate in Congress. Stay tuned. One of the largest oil companies in the world is selling off its oil fields to focus on renewable energy instead. Shell says it's reached a deal to sell its oil and gas fields in West Texas. Shell has 225,000 acres out there that it bought just 9 years ago. It's been using the land to produce about 200,000 barrels of oil a day. But Shell is selling the land to oil producer ConocoPhillips for $9.5 billion. It's part of the company's goal to reduce oil output by 2% a year and invest at least 25% of its budget in renewable and low-carbon energy sources by 2025. Shell says it'll use some of the profits from the Texas sale to help fund energy transition efforts. DoorDash is getting into alcohol delivery. A lot of customers are now able to order beer, wine, and liquor on the app from restaurants and grocery stores. DoorDash verifies a customer's age by asking people to upload their ID. Drivers are only able to see the customer's photo and birthday, though. So far, the new service is available to more than 100 million customers in 20 states in the U.S., Washington, D.C., Canada, and Australia. This puts DoorDash in direct competition with Uber, which bought an alcohol delivery service earlier this year. Apple released a new operating system for iPhones and iPads this week, and iOS 15 includes quite a few new upgrades. For example, on the new FaceTime, you'll be able to video conference with people who have Android phones or Windows PCs. There's also a new Focus feature that will turn off all notifications from people and apps that are not pre-approved. You can pre-approve different notifications for different situations like work, play, or sleep. Something else that's new? If someone shares photos, songs, or news stories with you through Apple Messages, you'll start seeing them in a Shared With You folder on Apple Photos, Apple Music, or Apple News. There are also privacy upgrades, a new redesign for the Safari web browser, Apple Maps improvements like real-time alerts, and a lot more. Anyone with an iPhone 6S or later can download this update. You just have to go to Settings, then General, then Software Update. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, thanks to our sponsor, KiwiCo. KiwiCo's mission is to help kids build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills, and have fun doing it. I love that each KiwiCo box, which is delivered monthly, comes with all the supplies needed for that month's project. No extra runs to the store or wondering what your child should play with next. And it gives me, as a parent, peace of mind knowing the crates are made with high-quality materials and have been designed by the experts, exposing my child at all of his different ages and stages to a new STEAM concept. STEAM means science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And as kids get older, projects are a great supplement to at-home and online learning, offering opportunities for hands-on exploration at home, from sailing the solar system to engineering a drip irrigation system and more. The crates allow kids to either play and learn independently with kid-friendly instructions, or you can complete projects with loved ones, so you get that extra quality time with family and friends. KiwiCo is redefining learning, and there's something for every kid. Plus, you can get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with the code NEWSWORTHY. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com, and then use the promo code NEWSWORTHY. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. And today's trivia question is, which country is known as the land of white elephants? Find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. Just look for the quiz in our Instagram stories. As for last week's trivia question, what is the highest point in the world? The answer is Mount Everest. The top of the mountain between Nepal and Tibet is more than 29,000 feet above sea level, and it keeps getting taller. National Geographic says Mount Everest's summit gets about a quarter of an inch higher each year as the tectonic plates beneath the Earth's surface move. But a lot of people are still trying to get there. Nearly 1,000 people tried to climb it in 2019, and about two-thirds of them successfully reached the top. But to be clear, while Mount Everest is the highest point on Earth, it's not the tallest mountain. That title belongs to the Mauna Kea volcano in Hawaii, which measures more than 33,000 feet from the bottom to its peak. The thing is, though, the base of the Mauna Kea runs deep beneath the Pacific Ocean. So while the mountain may be larger, Mount Everest is still reaching higher into the sky. All right, thank you so much for turning to the Newsworthy to get your news each day and for sharing the show. As always, we'll be back with more tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.